Good evening. Welcome to the Solari Report. Today is July 3rd, 2014. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Well, it's going to be July 4th weekend. We celebrate our freedoms, and it's a reminder to appreciate my favorite quote from the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That was the U.S. Congress, July 4th, 1776, in the Declaration of Independence. Unbelievable. A new piece of academic trash today. Trying to say that there really is no period after the pursuit of happiness, that the Declaration of Independence has been misread, and as a result, it really puts more stress on government as giving us our rights. All a bunch of hogwash. Don't pay any attention. We'll put it up on the blog either this week or next week, but don't pay any attention. Our freedoms come to us by divine authority, and government is something we create and can recreate, and it's getting closer and closer to the time when it looks like we're going to have to. Anyway, I'm Catherine Austin Fitz. I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Upcoming events, I'm going to be on Coast to Coast Monday night live in the studio with George Norrie. We're going to do an hour on economy and then an hour of Q&A, so please call in if you have questions. Our theme tonight is the black budget in your neighborhood. We just finished the Secret Space Secret Space Program and Breakaway Civilization Conference last weekend. It was a very intense experience, and one of the things we tried to do was to bring the black budget down to your household budget, your neighborhood, what's going on around you, because it's in those intimate connections that you start to find your power to reverse the drain or certainly shift the power relationship between you and that which is sort of draining your pocketbook and your time. I wrote a commentary, and I talked about it at the conference 2 weeks ago up on the Solari Report about I have a request. We're all grappling. If you're a Solari Report subscriber, we're all grappling, if we're red pill people, with getting along with the blue pill people, and blue pill people getting along with the red pill people. That's a metaphor from The Matrix. Some of us want to understand reality and deal with it, and some of us don't. And I think it's very important we find a way to encourage each other to choose to be the way we want. I, for one, am pretty much fed up with putting up with criticism from the people who don't want to understand reality. I'm a money manager. I need to understand reality. And it's one of the things I talked about with Bonnie. And I, for one, have no intention of apologizing for wanting to deal with reality. I don't like being put in double binds. And money management absolutely requires that you try to understand and deal with reality. That's what I'm doing with the Solari Report. And I have no intention of apologizing. And if you want to pretend that the official reality is true, God bless you. That's your choice. I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but I also don't want to try and pretend the official reality is true when I know the people leading the official reality are doing things that put people at tremendous financial and physical risk. So I want to understand that and help the people who want to be protected from that, whether financially or physically. I want to help protect them, and I'm the mama bear, so I have no intention of apologizing for wanting to understand reality. I believe that old saying, deal with reality or reality will deal with you. And I really don't want to get surprised. Money and markets. We have now finished the second quarter, so we know what the first half of the year is, and I just want to recap what's happened in the financial markets because it's been a very interesting time. We see the stock market continue to be relatively strong, not as strong as last year, but we're up. We closed June 30 with the S&P up 6.1%, the Dow up 1.5%, the Russell 2000 up 3.3%. That means they came back a lot. By far the best performance in June was the small caps up 5.3% on the Russell, with the S&P only up 1.9, Dow only up 0.7. For the quarter, though, the S&P was stronger because the small caps had given up so much in the spring. We see the the G7 or sort of the developed markets up about 1.9%. That's the EAFE. Emerging markets started to perk up 5.4% for the second quarter, 3.4% of the year. I'm not convinced we've seen a turn yet, as we talked about in the last equity report with Chuck Gibson. So, you know, big question mark in my mind is, will the emerging markets pick up? The divergence in values between the emerging markets and the developed markets is so great that there's tremendous opportunity that is of great interest to me. But I still think it's early, and some of it depends on how the dollar fares. The bond market continued to be okay. It wasn't as strong as it was in the first quarter, but year to date, we see the U.S. aggregate bond index up 3.2%, high yield up 3.9%. A lot of people chasing yields, and that's been good for high yield. And it's, you look at the risk and you kind of go, oh. Gold had a good first half, up 10%, silver up 7.8%. Again, I'm a little bit concerned about, you know, I think it's a little bit too early, same as the emerging markets. There's a lot of different signs saying inflation is revving up. But we've thought that before and then sort of gotten whacked back. So this summer is traditionally a tough time for precious metals. And, of course, equities sell in May and go away. And the one time we know is traditionally is not good for equities is the second term of a presidential cycle, mid-year elections. And yet the markets continue to be strong. One of the reasons, as I described earlier this or last month, we saw think tank OMFIF come out with a global survey of central banks, sovereign wealth funds, and public pension funds. So all governmental controlled assets, public institutions now own 29.1 trillion of 130 trillion in cross-border assets, and reports, many reports of, you know, increasing ownership and purchasing of equities by central banks, the largest state controlled investor now in equities is the Chinese central bank. The Swiss National Bank, certainly a leader in sort of trends, reports holding 15% of its foreign exchange assets in shares. So I assure you, if the state-controlled funds, which are mammoth, take a position that they're going to shift into the equity markets can continue strong for some time. I was in the process of researching that. I went back and looked at a McKinsey study from 2010, and it mentioned as the shift in global economic activity shifts into the emerging markets, since those investors don't buy equities, it could be a tough time for equities. But what we're seeing is the emerging market central banks, sovereign wealth funds buy equities. That's offsetting. It will be interesting to see if the emerging market, as the middle class grows, if they come in. Chuck and I have talked about that on the equity report. And if that happens, we, you know, these people who get up and say the Dow could go to 30,000, you know, that's true. I've talked before about the possibility of a crash up. The thing that's nervous about looking at these kinds of things are the fact that when you have this much capital from state-controlled entities, if somebody blows a whistle and they pull out, you can see enormous drops. If they say get in, you can get it swing up. So it doesn't take but, you know, the G20 making a decision to swing the markets one way or another by a significant amount. Another thing to note about stock market capitalization, I noted this in one of the newsletters I was writing this week, we see tremendous differences in how much of a domestic economy has been reflected in the stock market, how much has been securitized as well as valuations. And I noted, and you saw this from the think tank study, while Switzerland and the United States, actually, it was an article in Guru Focus, which I had posted on the blog. While Switzerland and the United States stock markets are valued at 287% and 123% respectively of their domestic GDP, China and Brazil's markets are valued at 40 and 44%. It's another reason, again, why the divergence in the emerging markets has me so keen, because when that turns, it's got a long way up. In theory, it could go. So I continue to watch and wait to see if we get a big shift. So that's it. And I will say that the financial markets continue to surprise, both the strength of equities, the strength of bonds, and it's one of the reasons I was so glad we did the Secret Space Conference, because, you know, it is exceptionally important to understand that one of the things fueling this economy is that we have enormous amounts of advanced technology. How much of it comes out of the black budget and gets integrated into the economy, we don't know. But as it does, it can really fuel strength in the markets and strength in the people and the areas that that basically are about that business. It's one of the things Bonnie and I talk about as we recap the conference on the interview. I put up a post on a history since the 1500s of the Netherlands 10-year government bond yields, just to show you how unprecedented the current drop in yields are. You know, I feel like we're in a limbo dance. How low can you go? And it just keeps getting lower. Another article worth noting on the blog, 2014 is on track to be the second biggest year in the history of M&A. Last year, corporations bought shares with their stock. Now they're buying each other. And again, it's very frustrating because a lot of this quantitative easing and debasement is turning into corporate cash, but it's not getting reinvested back in the economy anywhere near as much as I would love to see it do. But instead, we're having a consolidation of control in that sector. Interesting little blog post from Chuck Gibson up on the blog this week, Tan Past the Sunscreen, referring to the solar ETF. Many times in the last 10 years, various people have hoped that renewable energy would start to go someplace, both in the marketplace and in the stock market. And we're finally beginning to see, I think, a much more broad-based interest in different kinds of renewables. Part of it is improvement in the batteries and the technology. But as I've talked about before, I think solar is getting closer and closer. And so Chuck notes the performance of the solar ETF and what that may mean. I just posted a commentary on income inequality. Steve Roach, if you haven't listened to our interview with him, that is, you know, that is his work, and his latest book, Unbalanced, is fantastic. We're coming into the election, and income inequality is a topic that's on everybody's mind. We're seeing more misinformation and disinformation than you can shake a stick at about it. It's good to remember that the global rebalance is because the discrepancies between rich and poor globally are mind-boggling, much greater than they are in the United States. And we're watching a tension between the United States doing what it has to do to keep the dollar high and to keep the subsidies flowing to the American people, to keep them from, you know, to basically fund, among other things, the social safety net. At the same time, you know, so there are tensions in the elections and here because people want more money, and then there are tensions globally with what the leadership has to do to go out and get that money, not to say that's the only thing they're going out and getting money for. And at the heart of this process, and I believe primary source of inequality, is black budget and how that technology and the benefits of the black budget are being siphoned and used. And that's why one of the reasons I think it's so important that we look at what's going on with the black budget and what's going on with the investment of those monies and bring transparency, among other things, to it. Because I don't think you can grapple with the issues of rebalancing. To me, one of the things that has to happen if we're going to rebalance globally is we've got to re-engineer by place, county by county, how the government credit appropriations, contracts, and regulations work. There's tremendous opportunity. The challenge is how do you re-engineer the overt part of that money without re-engineering the black budget simultaneously? And if we're all sitting around pretending that that stuff is really not going on and happening, you're stuck. And if you read my article, Coming Clean Over the Fiscal Cliff, I think that's the primary reason why we're stuck. And what I'm grappling with is how do we get unstuck? And that's one of the reasons I want to keep bringing up these topics. I think we have to talk about the black budget because we've got to find a way to re-engineer together. It's hard to do that. It's like dancing with somebody when you're trying to pretend they don't exist. The part of these rebalancing issues, of course, is what's going on with China and Russia. We see lots of dancing in and around Europe, and whether Europe's going to get closer to Russia and China or closer to the United States. U.S. imposed a record fine on BNP, and Putin announced, okay, well, that's a slapback because they didn't cancel the warship contract with Russia. Russia and China announces a joint space program, and you know, so the politics of Eurasia just continue to dance, and that's part of the geopolitical tensions over the discrepancies in wealth between rich and poor. There's been another disclosure on Facebook. It wouldn't surprise me if that's designed to distract from the fact that the government is trying to stop Glenn Greenwald from publishing his latest and his latest, or so what he says is the big Snowden revelation. Others claim that they're going to release all of the Snowden documents. Meantime, nobody is paying any attention to that, doesn't even know about it. They're too busy watching Facebook try to apologize for its next outrage. Watching Sheryl Sandberg play the bimbo, oh, you know, we're so sorry we mishandled it, is another reason why I wrote the Promoting Women series. The idea is you do psychopathic things and then you put this attractive woman who uses the sort of women's lib card, you know, to kind of make it all sort of nice. And frankly, I think they should all just be, you know, I just want to say on behalf of the women in the world, to the men of the world, please feel free to not be restricted by political correct. You know, she should be held accountable for the kind of psychopathy she's doing and, you know, trying to make what they're doing, socially acceptable is, it's even, you know, God bless Mark Zuckerberg. At least he gets up there and says, oh, well, you know, if you're stupid enough to use you, we're stupid enough to trick you and steal your stuff. You know, so there's something Cheney, you know, it's the honesty of a Dick Cheney, which I prefer to someone like Sandberg. Our hero this week is Jeroen van Straten and the Global BEM team, who have organized, this is their second secret space program and breakaway civilization conference, the first one in Holland, and then they've done two breakthrough energy, and I think doing it as they've done it with very limited resources, what they've accomplished is quite marvelous. And I would hope that we've now seen enough extraordinary performance from them. I'm hoping that they've now gathered enough in terms of real serious intellectual resources and network to attract the kind of funding they certainly deserve to do extraordinary things. And I expect extraordinary things from them. And I think that funding will come together. And I think there were a couple of wonderful funders who helped make the secret space program possible. They don't want to be named, but, you know, I just want to take a moment and thank you. You are terrific, and you back some good people, and I think they did a marvelous job, and I want to personally thank them. Ask Catherine, or just a reminder, send your subscriber comments and questions to, you can either post them on the blog or send them to askcatherine@solari.com. I love getting your questions. I think I mentioned this last time, but let me say it again. A number of times you've mentioned the concept of spiritual warfare, and it has changed your approach on how to deal with things. I wonder if you'd be willing to do a Solari report around the idea of spiritual warfare. I would especially be interested in exploration of the topic that wasn't specific to any particular religion. I keep thinking about how to do this. I want to do it. I don't know how to do it without drawing from scripture in my particular tradition. And I'm going to have to find a way to do that and just invite you all to translate it to your tradition. But I will continue to think about how to do that because I do think it's important. And I hope it will be really valuable because training in spiritual warfare absolutely has made an enormous difference to my health and happiness. I hope you take the time to read this. It helped folks like me who have no legal training. And the subscriber asks me to go read one of these long drawn out things about the UCC connection and the different law. As I've said many times in Ask Catherine, I have never tried to figure out these different legal issues of how the sort of the U.S. is bankrupt and how the real law behind the U.S. as a corporation works. And one of the reasons is I find ultimately it doesn't really matter, because even if you figure out what the law was and you require that they implement you, they just ignore you anyway. So at the end of the day, I don't think any real solutions can necessarily come from delving down into these areas, but I could be proven wrong anyway. So I did look at it, and again, I just, you know, I've never found a way to make sense out of this area that I thought would be useful to our subscribers. I do think there are many legal actions that could be taken if enough people were willing to finance some serious lawyers going at the kind of legal actions that I think are called for. Another one, being involved with Bank Against America toward a mortgage modification since 2009, it was clear early on that the paper trail for promissory notes and mortgage assignments was broken. Since this understanding has become more widely supported through various studies and evidence in foreclosure cases, etc., so now we know that securitized debt via Fannie and Freddie failed to do complete the paperwork that maintained a clear title to the note and the security interest. My question is there any way of tracking the cash flow for mortgage payments to ensure the money is being properly routed? As I imagine, if you can't identify who owns that, how do you route the cash flows to the proper investors? The only way I know to do that is with subpoenas and depositions that are facilitated and supported by the courts. Often such things are not. And then you can ascertain the real cash flows. Even then, I would be highly suspicious of the information being provided. And so it's a very tricky area, because the many of the entities literally under national security law have the permission and legal authority to lie. So you get into very arcane things. But I think you have a good chance if a court will support you in going through the subpoenas and depositions. It's unbelievably expensive. Psychiatric drugs have a long and egregious history. Glad to see this subject coming out of the closet. Check out Gabor Mate, whom I first heard on Democracy News. I've listened to him on nutrition, and I think he's great on that topic. I also wrote to Kelly O'Meara in response to another question from a wonderful subscriber about how to both withdraw or to get an assessment, whether that made sense. And she sent me a link to a Dr. Breggin. It's breggin.com, B-R-E-G-G-I-N.com. He's got a new book, which I've ordered, and if I like it, I will get him on the Salieri Report, because I do think withdrawal, you have to be very careful. It's very tricky and can be very dangerous if not done properly. So I thank you for that question, and I'll make sure the link she recommended is up in the blog. Okay, you talk convincingly about the existence of massive black financial system, but at a very high level where the actual mechanisms are unclear. The financial coup d'etat, can you give an example of specific asset company or technology that has been transferred in the way you speak of, so we can understand the movements better? Similarly, can you detail an essential transaction change for a large mortgage fraud operation? You detail, finally, who is selling that to whom. In some cases, it seems like the principle is the same on both sides of the transaction. Didn't the banks, investment pools, and defense establishment already own or control the assets before 1997? Who sold what to whom in the internet boom and collapse? More detail would be helpful. Great question. The reality is, I've tried a couple times to do things like this. First of all, I'm not going to do an actual one, because you get into criminal and or you get into legal liability, and I, for one, am not willing to spend 11 years and $6 million litigating again. The last time I did, I put hundreds of thousands of pages of legal documentation up, and it, you know, no one wanted to get into that complexity. The other thing is, it's like the joy of cooking. There are hundreds and hundreds of recipes. When you put up one, people, you know, mistake this one for a much more important one than it is. You know, I've tried theoretical examples, and frankly, they put people to sleep and don't get a lot of hits. So it's almost as though anybody who wanted to get into the complexity of it, we should do a little online workshop to go through the complexity. One thing I thought I would do is, there's one which I can give an example, which I think might bridge some of the problems I just described. So I think I'm going to write a blog post called The Strange Case of Puller Mortgage and see if that doesn't help. So you've inspired me. It's a great question. I struggle with how to answer it without spending thousands of hours and getting no hits as a result of doing those thousands of hours, or hundreds of hours, I should say. Okay, let's go to the movies. I put up a documentary that I cannot recommend to you enough. It's John Lundberg's 2013 documentary called Mirage Men. It's about the U.S. government's use of agents to spread disinformation to cover up advanced black budget technology and operations. It's really excellent. I can't tell you how much disinformation there is in any area that the government doesn't want you to know about, or the private investors who really rule G7 don't want you to know about. The amount of money that's spent on disinformation, ridiculing people who give you good information, on financing and providing wonderful financing to people who spread the disinformation, it just goes on and on and on. And it's unbelievably frustrating. It's one of the reasons I've always stayed away from looking at the UFO topic. And that's why I'm so appreciative of Dr. Farrell and Mark McLandish, who's going to be on the Salieri Report next week, Richard Dolan, who's been on twice. I mean, these people have spent decades sorting the disinformation from the information, and it is very hard to do. But when I tell you that literally hundreds of billions, it's that amount of money, hundreds of billions of dollars has been spent of your tax dollar paying people to basically trick you. And it's frustrating to me. One of my greatest frustrations is how gullible we are as a society. And every time I go through something like the Secret Space Program and have a chance of being with people who I believe are wonderful, intelligent, but have very little background in the area, I see how easily they're tricked and how gullible it is. And I know, you know, I've been tricked before too. So so this is an area of great frustration, and I think it is very helpful to every one of us to understand that some of the most powerful, competent people with billions of dollars of funding are in the business full time, all day long, every day, during the week, of tricking us. And we need to know that and see it and understand how much damage it does and be prepared to navigate a world where that's going on. Okay, our interview this week is with Bonnie Faulkner. Bonnie is the host of KPFA Radio, does a wonderful job, very knowledgeable about global geopolitics and economics. I've worked with her many times. I've done many shows with her, both a special we did on the Salieri Report, or a series we did on her radio program called Unpacking Mr. Global. We just did one on the black budget. And we talk about both the conference, what happened, the different speakers, and then we bring it down to the issues of income inequality and sort of the black budget in your neighborhood, as well as how this is very much part of what's keeping the economy going, not just the money that was moved out of the government and other parts of the economy and is now being reinvested in sort of the areas that the breakaway civilization is interested in, but of the power of that technology to keep the economy going. And I wanted to bring it back, particularly to the San Francisco Bay Area, where I still am. I leave on Saturday, and of course, Bonnie's based, because this economy is just going gangbusters, and a lot of that has to do with the technology being reverse engineered out of the black budget. A couple other points to make about the coverage of the conference. We had one of my favorite bloggers, Nines, blogging for us. She called it Fear and Loathing in Silicon Valley. I think she's going to do one more recap post. She comes at it from a much more personal, intimate space, which, you know, I'm such a money person. I thought it was really wonderful to have somebody coming at it from a much more intimate space and kind of offset my seriousness. I can get pretty serious about these things. And then another wonderful writer, author who was there, we put up his post back from the Secret Space Conference. So take a look at the series Fear and Loathing. I think hopefully Nines is going to write one more. It'll be up. And the stream, the Global BEM guys have got the two speeches. They've got John Rappaport and Richard Dolan up, more coming, and they're going to be working steadily to get that up, and hopefully they'll make a DVD. And you can buy the stream ticket and watch that. And then coming up, we have Mark McLandish, who's going to be join us next week to talk about some more about the advanced technology. Then John Rappaport, who gave an incredible talk, as you can hear Bonnie talk about, is will be with us the following week to talk about selling you to you, which was the topic of his speech at Breakaway. And then Joseph Farrell will be with us in the first week of August. I'm going to be stopping by and seeing Joseph on my way home, and I cannot wait to talk to him in person about what we all learned. So check out the interview with Bonnie. She's always fabulous. Very good assessment of what happened. It's almost as though you feel like you were there. Okay, well, that's it. July 10th, Mark McLandish will be with us to talk about advanced technologies of the breakaway civilization. Again, I think that those technologies, whether they're kept in secret or they're being moved out into places like Silicon Valley, these technologies are part of what's fueling the new economy. If you look at my arguments as to why I don't think the economy is going to collapse, or I think it's unlikely, and I keep saying if we have a risk, it's going to be, you know, another Fukushima, or it's going to be war, but it's not going to be the kind of collapse I think many people are contemplating. This is one of the reasons why, and I think that's more one of the reasons why you really want to kind of understand what's going on in the technologies of the black budget. And then July 17th, Rappaport selling you on you, as John says, hardest sell in the world. I'll be doing the second quarter wrap-up on July 24th when I get back to Hickory Valley, Tennessee. And then, of course, Farrell will be up in the first week of August, so we have quite a lineup for you. Again, happy July 4th, and I just want to remind you of what the real Declaration of Independence says. Again, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I hope your pursuit of happiness throughout the weekend is a joyous one. So until I'm back with you on July 10th, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.